Good morning, State of Jefferson. I hope everybody out there is doing okay and facing a good day. Temperatures are finally starting to cool off a little bit and starting to think about a little bit of autumn and harvest season in Jefferson. It's my favorite time of the year. Crops are in, things are doing good. It's time to slide into the cooler weather. Not watching little people burst into flames out in the middle of the street anymore. So, lots of good food, lots of good festivals coming, and fair season for a lot of people, good stuff. Looking forward to it. This is the Jefferson State of Mind, and you're here with Red Smith, myself, the Bear. We'll be a la sans, or a la carte, if you would, today. Wynn Carpenter. He is out and about in the countryside doing his thing. So, we're going to be talking this morning about some of the things that are going on with the state of Jefferson, some of the things that we're anticipating here very soon. A lot of great work that's going on behind the scenes. I know you're not hearing a lot publicly. You're not seeing a lot publicly. But behind closed doors, those new committees that have been formed are working feverishly. They're doing a lot of good work. They're putting together a lot of amazing things, a lot of amazing ideas and concepts that are coming out. So we're going to be discussing some of that. We're going to be discussing the next assembly, the next kind of steps of what we're doing from there. And then we're really going to be talking about the state of California and what is going on with the state of California and the continual progression of insanity and stupidity. And going to just kind of be asking everybody the question today, do you think people are really that capable of being that stupid? Is it just a progression of unwillingness to deal with reality and evidence, so they just allow the ship to continue to run its course, even though they know that it's pointless, it's hopeless, because they don't want to admit that they failed? Or is this to an engineered, tailored idea to cause a collapse so that they can usher in something else? Are people really capable of being as stupid as our legislature in Sacramento has been over the last several years? And it's really a valid question at this point, because a blind man could see what was coming. You talk about things like Prop 57 that we're going to get into, that it'd be a bombshell on our population in the state. You talk about the hiding of the unfunded liabilities that we've talked about. You talk about the fact that CalPERS has been defrauding its investors, all of these different things, and yet there's no prosecution. Nobody's held to account. People are violating the citizens of this state, and nobody's being held accountable. Nobody's talking about it. So there's a lot to discuss. Discuss there, and then we need to talk about some of the other things that we need to be doing to resist the state of California, not only once we have the state of Jefferson, but things that we need to be doing to resist the insanity of the state while we're getting the state of Jefferson, while we're forming the state of Jefferson, how we can use the state of Jefferson movement and our consolidation and our numbers and our political power to put a stop to some of these things. That essentially we have to still deal with the elephant in the room while we're trying to get out of the room. You know, as Leonard Skinner says, give me three steps, mister, give me three steps to the door. We're still in there dealing with the guy with the gun, which is, unfortunately, Sacramento and the state legislature and some of just the idiocy that they're up to. Also have some more information to bring you about the new state mandated social security system that's going to be coming, where California has decided that since they couldn't handle their government employees' retirement, in order to bail that out, they're going to force all private citizens into a state mandated social security like system, where they're going to handle everybody's funds to bail out the governmental employees. Let that one sink in there for a second. So we're going to be talking about that. I have a special announcement this morning that I was asked to make. For those of you in the Reading area, Sons of Italy needs your help with a rake or a shovel to move gravel and sand and the new bocce ball courts that are being put in at Tiger Field today. So if you guys have got a minute or a moment, and you're down in South Reading, South Central Reading there, and you get time to swing by Tiger Field, go run a rake or go run a shovel and help get in the new bocce ball courts. So that's going to be an exciting new addition. It's going to be allow Sons of Italy's annual bocce tournament and Paisano Days to be moved from Anderson to Reading. It's part of retaking our downtown, retaking Tiger Field, which there's been a lot of time and a lot of investment and a lot into restoring that between the Cold 45s and now the bocce ball courts. The money that's gone into our public library and making it nice there and really trying to reclaim that area for the people of Reading rather than watch it be a homeless camp. So if you can get down there and assist, certainly do so. So first off, we're going to be talking about the committees and the things that are going on. There is a constitution that is being worked on, and the discussion that is going on with that is pretty fantastic. A lot of the concepts that are being brought out of the state constitutions, different parts of state constitutions that are being dissected and segmented by the people on this committee that are working at it and looking on it. And there's some really good, amazing things in state constitutions that I never would have imagined being in there. Things that says essentially no arbitrary law shall ever supersede the rights of the citizen or the Constitution. That's one that we could certainly insert into our Constitution with the state of Jefferson, and it's one that if it had been put into place in the state of California Constitution, perhaps it could have put a stop to some of the nonsense that we're looking at, because they use arbitrary laws all the time to violate our constitutional rights and our power and our sovereignty. Look at what they've done with the Second Amendment and our citizens here. Look at what they've done to empower non-citizens. So, there's some very, very good fundamental and decent things in there that we can do to secure our liberty, our freedom, and our form of republican government once we have it retaken and restored in the state of Jefferson. And using things like that and those tools and those measures to put that in there. It was surprising to me seeing some of these state constitutions now that have gotten into some of the older constitutions. I've looked primarily at the ones out in the West and stuff that are kind of newer constitutions and things like that. But you get into the older ones in the East Coast, and it's really interesting how they saw the need in early constitutions to not only shore up the federal constitution, but reaffirm and strengthen those rights in their own constitution. So it's kind of interesting, some of those things and the concepts that need to be brought up about that. So we do need to sneak ourselves off here to our first break, which we'll be doing very shortly, and going to be talking a little bit more about the committee work that's going on and some of the things before we dig into the meat of some of my questions about California. So if you would, give us a call at 530-605-4567 if you have questions or comments. This is KCNR, Free Fire Radio for the North State.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
Holiday Harbor, we've got it all for you. But we're more than just great houseboats. We have the vacation you have been looking for without the drive or airport hassle. Fishing boats, patio boats, 47-foot party cruisers, wakeboards, jet skis, and stand-up paddleboards. If it floats or you can pull it behind a boat, we probably have it for your enjoyment. Visit Holiday Harbor, exit 695 of Interstate 5, or go to LakeShasta.com. Holiday Harbor, your own vacation in town.
This is Joe McKenna from CloudWise Academy. I learned a lot the hard way about internet marketing. Every month, I'll help you take control of how the internet impacts your business and your revenue. You'll hear the latest tech news from the digital world, but most importantly, get your tech and marketing questions answered. Learn what you need to know to manage the tech side of your business as effectively as you manage everything else. It's your chance to get those important questions answered. Join us for the Digital Revolution Radio Show every fourth Wednesday at KCNR 1460.
Come on down to the Air Force Memorial Show and Shine at the Anderson River Park Moose Grove on Saturday, September 24th from 10 till 2 p.m. This end-of-summer blowout event is free to the public and features your favorite Porsches, Corvettes, Mini Coopers, exotic supercars, and cars from the British Car Club. And be sure to get your mouth-watering tri-tip dinner for just $12. All proceeds support the Air Force Memorial Project. See you there.
Well, welcome back to the Jefferson State of Mind, and marching on here as we're going on. We were discussing the Constitution and the Constitutional Committee that's hard at work at constructing the primary focus of our Constitution and, you know, the framework that people are going to tear into and take a look at. But first, we've got a call from Dave. Dave, are you there?
I am here.
How's it going?
Pretty good.
Is this Steve?
This is Steve.
Hey, Steve, how's it going?
Good.
So you were at the first meeting for the Constitutional Committee?
We were. We had an all-day session in South Placer County yesterday. And first we had Mark Baird address us for about an hour and a half. Kind of giving us a policy direction, and you know that was really interesting to hear a lot of the historical background on you know both the Jefferson movement merging in with you know 200-300 years worth of you know liberty in the writings. That kind of gave us a framework to go from, and then we started to fire out what type of articles should the state of Jefferson address. Basically, what should government in Jefferson be addressing at all? And it was interesting because you didn't have any of the people who were looking for more government and more government control. It was actually peeling back the layers and trying to get a very thin government, which pretty much leaves all of the rights to the people and basically putting a lot of responsibility on the people. And not so much being handheld by the government.
And that's what makes cities, nations, states good and productive, is allowing people not only the mobility and the freedom that they need, but also requiring them of the responsibility to maintain it, the understanding of civic duty and doing what you need, and don't run off to some government agency every time you have a problem. That is great to hear, and I believe you said you're working on a total of 13 articles right now?
Yeah, I think we've got about 13 or 14 articles. We looked at, you know, all 50 of the Constitution. Some are exploded and very large, and some are very thin, and without looking at those constitutions, we just started firing out, what do we want to see? What do we want to see? And, of course, we have, you know, the judicial, the legislative, and the executive branches. Those are each an article. So a lot of the gimmies were there. But then they kind of tightened it down, and towards the end of the conversation, there wasn't a lot more that we wanted to take on as government. It was kind of like, that doesn't belong to us. No. And so we've actually started reducing things, which will actually reduce the state budget and overall the entire tax burden as well.
Absolutely. So you guys were kind of coming to the same conclusion our forefathers did, that we kind of needed to find a document that restricts the growth and the authority of government rather than empowers it.
And we did spend a lot of time on that exact thought, where how do we incorporate within the Constitution the inability to treat it as a living document, where people can come in and say, well, this means this, so we're trying to try to insert something into the preamble that says, if you need guidance on what we're saying here, look at this, you know, something like the 1828 Webster's Dictionary. Just go back to that. This is what, if you need to look up the words, this is what it's based on. And don't give your own interpretation wearing a black robe.
Yeah, and that's something that needs to be done, because that is one of the things that is leading to the current destruction of our federal constitution, and has led to the amendment of the California Constitution 500 plus some times now, is that concept of it is a living document. And even though our founding fathers did give us a way to amend and adjust and change our form of government, to change the rule book, so to speak, they were also very clear that it should not be done lightly, and that it should not be done on a whim and just because of the winds that are blowing that day, that it should be taken very seriously. And that's why they made it difficult to alter or add or remove from our Constitution, but they've used the judicial system to go around that. So was there any good ideas on how to stop that? Did you guys actually come up with anything?
There was something that Mark was talking about, and I think it's kind of revolutionary, where you have an office within government that actually looks at all legislation coming through and vets it against the Constitution and goes, nope, this doesn't cut muster, this is not in there, and throws it back to the author either to revise or kill. So we'll have an immediate stopgap measure to say, this isn't in here, folks. This is not part of your purview. This is either at the county level or it belongs directly to the people, and so they'll throw it out. So it'll be one of those pieces of government that'll be in an elective office that'll basically do a pre-review before it even hits the court system.
That's a fantastic idea. I think that could save a lot of legislation that goes on in California, probably 98% of it.
And so now you know why Mark is the guy he is. He comes up with the best stuff.
He does. There is nobody better when it comes to the constitutional thought or understanding the process of it. And you know, it was never left to the court system to define the Constitution. It was never intended for the court system to interpret the Constitution in the first place. What they've done, they were simply erected to adjudicate constitutional disagreements between states, federal government, individuals, individual sovereigns, and the federal government. It was never there to determine if this law was constitutional or that law was it wasn't. It was to adjudicate the issues that may arise when those laws are in conflict with each other in constitutional precepts. And that would be something that would be nice to restore, at least on the state level. And one of the things that I'm watching very interestedly with is Arizona has petitioned to withdraw from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and then Utah followed up right behind them.
They didn't like being in the crazy court. Well, that's great.
So it's there's different things that are going on that we're going to be able to use, and we're going to be able to kind of watch how it plays out and see what works and what arguments the federal government makes and the maneuverings. Is there anything else that came up at the meeting? And
as far as that definition, they wanted the Declaration of Rights to be right after the preamble, and to basically explode our Bill of Rights and almost giving a line or a section to each one. So when you talk about the First Amendment, you have the five rights. they wanted to be very clear on each of those rights and give them, like, their own line or their own section. So I think our Declaration of Rights section will not be thick as far as volume, but there will be, the quantity will be many, because they want to make sure that every one of those things is spelled out. So if you look at each piece of the Bill of Rights, if there's a concept in there that's joined with others within the same amendment, those first 10 amendments, it will probably be written out each time and basically defined, so there won't be a, like we were discussing before, a judge will come through and say, oh, I wonder what they meant on this since this was combined with this, so, and to basically tear it apart. So it'll be very explicit, not so wordy, but very explicit.
So it'll be retard-proof to save us from the judges.
One can only hope, but, you know, I'm sure our forefathers thought that that was the case 230-some-odd years ago, and look what happened.
Well, they expected people to have a grasp of the English language and grammar and common sense, but we've lost that, that's for sure. You know, when you hear arguments that changes the entire direction, the entire concept of a essential right because of an argument over the placement of a comma or something like that, it's ridiculous.
Before I leave you, I just wanted to thank all the members of the committee who came yesterday. Very dynamic conversation. It was exciting. You know, when you're in something for that long, everybody's eyes are like nodding off and heads are dropping. None of that. It was just, I think everybody left really energized, and everybody did a great amount of work yesterday. I want to thank them all.
All righty. Well, thank you, Steve, for calling in with the update, and excited to hear things that are going and moving along. I know things that are going on with other committees that are moving right along, and, you know, the state of Jefferson Ship just keeps steaming along. So,
okay, talk to you later.
All right, thank you, Steve. So, yeah, fantastic news from the the Constitutional Committee front and the things that are going on and some of the things that they're going to be able to bring to the eventual Constitutional Convention. There's the word that I was looking for. And the different things, and the legislative assembly that's starting to come together, that's going to be the 21 counties electing their representatives and getting used to functioning amongst themselves as a continual entity, as a state level entity. You know, we've had a lot of these committees that have worked together very long and working the districts of their counties and working their individual board of supervisor districts and things like this, and now taking it to that state level where everybody's working together, pulling the same direction, and you're getting the communication flow between the 21 counties at one time and continually. So instead of one county over here talking with this county about we need some help with this, or Trinity County saying we need help from Shasta for our fair, or Shasta County, you know, looking over to Lassen and saying, hey, we could use some help in the East handing out pamphlets or things like that. We actually have everybody at the table now starting to come together and identify and function as a state-level entity. And it's very exciting to watch. The Constitution, of course, is, for a constitutional nerd like myself, extremely exciting to watch come together. And just the brilliance of people and what they can do when they're dedicated to liberty and freedom and the ideas and the things that Americans are capable of. And it's nice to be reminded of it instead of us constantly being run into the ground and told we didn't build that, or, you know, we should be guilty for this, or we're responsible for that, and America's not great. We as Americans are great people. We're fantastic and amazing people. And if you just want to see a good example, come look at the state of Jefferson. With that, we'll see you on the other side of this break. Give us a call at 530-605-4567.
When I turned 18, I couldn't wait to vote. After all, voting is a privilege for all Americans, right? Then I did the math. Did you know that the northern third of California only has 3 out of 80 seats in the Assembly and 3 out of 40 seats in the Senate? Northern California has no representation, and my vote doesn't count. splitting from California and forming the state of Jefferson is the only remedy. Please visit SOJ51.net for more information. Please donate now to help restore representation.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, New Time, Sunday, 9 a.m. to noon.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Like many working women, I have a hectic schedule. My daily radio show, stage performances, and time with Carl leave almost no time to focus on myself. And I know a lot of us are in that same situation. We need me time to maintain mind, body, and spirit. And that's where Wellgate Sports Club really shines. I love the aquatic training program at Wellgate Sports Club. Kathleen Cowling's Aqua Aerobics focuses on cardiac training through water resistance and buoyancy that features safe, low-impact movements. Wellgate Sports Club's saltwater pool is a unique way to get back to my body, feeling muscle groups grow stronger. Kathleen at Wellgate Sports Club helped me to find my new limits, and they can help you too. Call Wellgate Sports Club today at 768-1205, or you can check out schedule information online at wellgatesportsclub.com. At Wellgate, self-care is the best form of health care. Wellgate Sports Club, Eureka Way at Court in Reading.
And we don't want to drown no more. And the sick of the same old people. And kind that'll sell your soul. And trade it for a shining stone. Ain't nothing in this life for free. And running from the greatest evil. And finally don't know me. A man's got to fight temptation. Evil rose from the door. Scratching like I don't know better. Won't you keep the wolves from the door? It won't be long before I cave in and open up.
Right. Welcome back to the Jefferson State of Mind. We just got off the phone with Steve Baird and was discussing the first meeting of the Constitutional Committee, the first face-to-face. They had an all-day session. They've been very feverish back and forth on the internet, discussing ideas, concepts. But they have sat down together. They've started kind of the bones of the framework, and to see what's going to come out of that and what works out of that is going to be fantastic as the state of Jefferson continues to move forward. But before we get too much further, we've got Peter on the line.
Yes, good morning.
Hey, Peter.
Hey, listen, Mike, thanks for taking my call, and I love your show. Listen, Robert, you're one of the most knowledgeable guys I know on radio when it gets to CalPERS, and CalPERS to me is a big stumbling block when I get to the state of Jefferson, bearing in mind I support the state of Jefferson. But last week or in the last couple of weeks when this private sector insurance scheme came up, my first instinct was, this is just another money grab from the government to get into the private sector to pay off the public sector retirement plan. And you touched on it this morning, and I was just wondering if you get a little bit of time, can you expand on that at some time to educate me and anyone else that's interested out there?
Absolutely.
And listen, mate, just before I go, I got a frightening email yesterday from a good mate of mine, and something I hadn't thought about with Barack Obama. You know, as far as I'm concerned, he wants to rule the world through the United Nations. But this guy pointed out that Hillary Clinton, if she becomes president, intends putting him on the Supreme Court. Can you imagine anything more devastating?
Yeah, I have picked up on that one as myself a couple, 3 days ago. Somebody, and she actually said that. They actually sent me a clip where, somebody brought it up to her, and she goes, oh, what a fantastic idea, put Barack Obama as Supreme Court. Yeah, there's a terrifying concept.
Yeah. Well, listen, mate, I'll let you go, and if you get a chance to explain this you're a lot more knowledgeable about it than I am, about this new private sector, the government wanting to get into the pocket of the private sector to pay off the public sector.
Yeah, and that's actually one of the things that I was going to discuss, get into CalPERS. I was going to talk about the Prop 57 and the prisoner release, but I'll go ahead and dive into the CalPERS and the basically State of California Social Security Fund that they want to set up to rob the private sector to pay off their failures on the public sector.
Okay, mate, appreciate it. God bless you. Thank you.
All righty. So for those of you that listen to the show, listen to Sovereign Minds, pay attention, have any concept of truth, you know that CalPERS and CalSTRS are too massive, too big to fail. Remember those words, too big to fail government retirement funds for all of our government employees. Well, for years now, they've been cooking the books. Basically, since the 2008 collapse, they have never recovered. They've been telling everybody, oh, yeah, we need to hit 7.25% interest rate, and we stay funded. There's no worries. Everybody gets their money. Nobody's making 7.25% interest rate on anything. Haven't been since 2008. All CalPERS has been doing is claiming that they made that and then pushing off the extra considered interest that they need off into future years. They have also failed to accurately list their actuaries, which is the valuation of their assets. One of their biggest holdings, almost a third of their holdings, were mortgage bundles and things like that that were Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, Sally Mae, Countrywide, which are basically junk mortgages, have always been junk mortgages, are never coming back. And they have kept the valuation of those homes and those mortgages at what they were pre-collapse 2008. Now they've been forced to actually evaluate and value those homes and those mortgages for what they're worth now in 2016, and they're nowhere near worth what they're claiming. So if you say, I have $100,000 in this value, and I need to earn 7.25% interest on it so I can pay off my obligation to this retirement, but in fact you've only got $65,000 in actual value, your 7.25% is going to go up drastically to meet your unfunded liabilities. That's one of the things that's going on with CalPERS. The other one is about a third of their money was invested in sovereign debt and junk bonds, things like, oh, you know, Greece, Venezuela, Iran, you know, places where the economy and the monetary system and the debt are just excellent and paying really well. Really brilliant concepts there. And lastly, CalPERS had a very healthy, very robust energy portfolio. They were invested in coal and oil and power plants, stuff that actually produces something and makes money. And that one fund was able to kind of drag the other two through the mud. They weren't able to meet their 7.25% to meet their liability as they were saying that they were going to. So they had to come back and they had to readjust the contract and they had to come back to the local municipalities and say, hey, we're going to need you to contribute a little bit more until we get through this, and we're going to change the contract to a defined benefit or to a defined contribution instead of a defined benefit, and rah, 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 and everything will be okay. Meanwhile, they're lying through their teeth, but nobody knew that at the time. So they did that, and then the one portfolio that was performing, their energy portfolio, the United Nations and Jerry Brown stepped in and told CalPERS and CalSTRS they had to start divesting from their energy portfolio because of their carbon footprint, because of the destruction they were wreaking upon the earth. Oh, and by the way, you have to invest it in green energy, which just happens to be Jerry Brown and the UN and John Kitzhopper and Tom Steyer and all of these other pay-to-play people in the environmental movement that I like to call gangrene. So Jerry Brown basically took the retirement fund, the last portion that was healthy of the retirement fund of the State of California employees, and distributed among his crony capitalist friends that shore up his campaign and his things that he wants to do. Unfortunately, green energy is a huge failure. The solar yards aren't working. The windmills are falling apart. Nobody can afford to maintain them. They're junk. The concepts are terrible. They don't produce enough energy. They're way more expensive than they thought. When you have to go replace the solar panels, which are failing at a massive rate, oh, guess what? They're filled with toxic materials that you have to get rid of and things like that. So they have managed to shoot the last healthy part of CalPERS right in the face. And that was Jerry Brown and the United Nations. And if you don't believe me, you can go look at CalPERS' own websites and look on the website where it says Office of United Nations Relations and Green Energy Policy. It's right there. So the unfunded liability. Finally, there was a report done by Stanford and the Stanford Group. And they reported the unfunded liabilities. They reported that CalPERS has been cooking their books and making it look like Enron and have brought the valuations back, and they are unfunded, close to $1 trillion. Our numbers say about $1.4 trillion that they're short. They don't have that money to pay people's retirement. But the fine print of all of that is that the local municipality is on the hook to pay for those retirement funds. Okay, so CalPERS, about 3-4 months ago, quietly took the unfunded liabilities off of their books and passed them on to the local municipalities. They said, hey, we're exercising our we lied through our teeth, defrauded the investors, get out of jail free card, and you're now responsible, City of Reading, Shasta County, Placer County, City of Loyalton, Grass Valley, whatever the municipality is, you're now responsible for the fact that we lost all of the money and defrauded everybody and walked away with huge bonuses, and it's on you. This unfunded liability, even now the City of Reading is starting to wake up to and go, oh, wait a minute, we might have a problem. Like people tried telling us, 6-7 years ago? But they still don't understand the seismic change that this is going to bring, because they're still looking at the numbers that CalPERS is trying to tell them, even though CalPERS has been lying through their teeth the whole time. So what this does is the cities now have to pay their payroll for their current employees, and they have to pay the retirement funds of every single employee that has worked for that municipality. Now, in the City of Reading, for example, that's going to work out to 386% of payroll. Okay, so we have our payroll budget. Then you take 100% of our payroll budget and multiply it to where it's 386% of payroll, almost four times our payroll, and that's what we have to pay out of our budget now to pay our retired city employees. We're also going to be facing that on the county level in Shasta County. Every other local municipality is going to be facing this to the tune of $1.4 trillion statewide. And we think it's actually worse than that, as CalPERS and then CalSTRS, which is another retirement fund, collapses, which they're essentially doing. So now that you understand that, the state of California has a new scheme of how they're going to rob the private sector to try and pay off the unfunded liabilities of their retired government employees, because if not, they're probably facing a revolt where people are going to show up with pitchforks and torches because they've worked their whole lives to find out that they don't have a pot to piss in, and Jerry Brown and the government robbed them to give all that money and all that retirement funds to their buddies. But I'm going to talk about that on the other side of our last break here. And, yeah, it looks like we're not going to get into the criminals and the Prop 57 thing today. But, yeah, we will be finishing up explaining the CalPERS and what's coming now with California State Social Security. So join us on the other side of the break, and we'll get into that. Or give us a call at 530-605-4567.
Did you know that Article 4, Section 3 of the U.S. Constitution lays out the framework for the state of Jefferson's plan to split California? a state can be formed from the land within another state if the state legislature and Congress approve it with a simple majority vote. 51% is all it takes. Your vote doesn't count in Northern California. California is broken, and the time has come for 51. Please visit SOJ51.net and donate now to show your support.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Muse with Northern Lights Energy. We're doing a lot of heater upgrades, so if you think you want to try a new on-demand kerosene water heater or a Toyo heater, give us a call before winter. We can give you a free estimate. Robin down in Corning is very busy with all the truckers, farmers, with the ag season in full swing. Joe in Weaverville got his new awning up and all the lights are working for all the early birds. The Redding plant is selling a lot of ethanol-free 93 and a whole lot of barbecue bottles. And if you need a forklift tank, we got some of those in now. We have a lot of bulk oil in your container or ours, and we're open on Saturday till 3:30 at the Redding plant. Northern Lights Energy. Everything from race car fuel, motor oil, red and clear diesel, and gasoline. In South Redding, we have the Muse Card Lock. Corning, Weaverville, and Redding. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
Coming to the Cascade Theater September 8th, Sean Colvin and Steve Earle. Together, two old pals on the road. Don't miss this rare opportunity to catch two multi-Grammy winning stars sharing the Cascade Theater stage. Sean Colvin and Steve Earle. Thursday, September 8th at Redding's Cascade Theater. Get tickets today at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Well, my name's Conley Pettimore. Same as my daddy and his daddy before. You hardly ever saw granddaddy down here. They only come a town about twice a year. You buy 100 pounds of yeast and a copper line. Everybody knew that it made me shine. Now the revenue man on a granddaddy's bed. Head left a holler of everything had. For my time, but I've been told to never come back from Copperhead Road.
Well, welcome back to Jefferson State of Mind. That's a good song for this morning. It's pretty bad when you live in a state that you have to become an outlaw to be an honest man. Think about that one, too, for a second. I think I got to the point where I explained CalPERS, its failure, its reasons, the things that are going on with it. Now, our state legislature, in all its glory and brilliance and wisdom, headed up by the most serene and glorious of supreme leaders, Moonbeam Brown, and his excessive wisdom and brilliance and divine guidance, have decided that the way to cure CalPERS is to take on responsibility for everybody's retirement. You know what the problem is, you know, CalPERS failed because we didn't have control of enough money. We didn't have control of the whole system to rig it. If we had control of the whole system, we could rig it to the way that everybody wins. So what we want to do is we want to propose a statewide retirement tax on government workers and private workers, private business, everybody. And your retirement tax will go into a fund similar to Social Security. Oh, don't worry. It'll be in a lockbox. We'll never touch it. It'll be in sacred trust, just like CalPERS and CalSTRS and Social Security itself has always been. And we'll never do any harm, and we'll never do any bad. But you collect this money, and that's going to help us pay for the unfunded liabilities, and it's going to help save your local municipality and bail out your local politicians who didn't have the spine to stand up to these ridiculous contracts. And it's going to help save our whole crony capitalist system if you just let us have a little bit of your money, and we promise real hard that we're going to manage it right this time. So that's essentially what is going on, is the legislature is putting forward a new mandatory tax, and they haven't gotten it through yet. They're working on it. It's come up and gone back and come up and gone back. So it's one of these that they're going to keep hammering on until they're able to slip it in, that you're going to pay a portion of your income, like you don't pay enough already, to the state of California, and they're going to manage your retirement fund. So, you know, you ought to really be set by the time you retire, because you're going to have Social Security check to retire on, unless you're under the age of 40. By the way, if you're under the age of 40, sorry about that. All the money will be gone. There will be nothing for you. You don't get any of your contributions. By the way, keep paying into Social Security, and you'll have your state of California Social Security check, your state security check. And, you know, we promise that'll be there, and that's probably going to be on a blended glide path and make 7.25% interest, and it's going to be fantastic, and you'll get more money than you put in, and everything will be happy and rainbows and lollipops, and we'll have police and firefighters and politicians everywhere, and everything will be grand. So all of that we know is nonsense, and all of that we know is going to be complete crap. They're basically drowning out at sea, and like a drowning man panicking will do, when you try to save him, he will grab onto you and he will drag you under, and you'll both die. That's what they're trying to do. They know that they're going to get called to the mat because they screwed up these government retirement pensions. They know they're going to be responsible. There might even be some people that go to jail if we ever get a attorney general that's willing to prosecute somebody. There's people at CalPERS that have committed fraud and have knowingly continued to commit fraud. So their answer is steal more money. Steal more from you and me. Steal more from mom, the single mom, and her kids down the street. Steal more to pay for their failed theft and their failed nonsense in the first place. So, before I get going too far on to that rant, we have a phone call. Jan, are you there?
Hi, Red.
Hey, Jan.
Should I be concerned about my 401k? Think they'll figure out a way to raid that somehow?
They're working on it.
That's what I've heard.
That's part of their plan is this state Social Security concept is it's not only going to be, okay, we've created this program, you, the new worker, you on your next paycheck are in on it. They also are looking at it as, oh, you have an existing IRA, you have an existing 401k. Oh, well, that needs to be invested with the state now, doesn't it? Or at least a portion thereof so that we can manage it in your best interest. It's what's known as a buy-in. It's something that they did at in Creed and a couple other places where when the government started to fail and the industries began to fail because of their bad investments and stuff, they just took a quarter of everybody's money that was in the bank and said, oh, you just bought into your government. Thanks for the money. And we're going to replace the quarter that 25% of your money with bank stock, which, by the way, is worthless because the bank's worthless, which is why we had to take your money in the first place. It's just the state of California has added a new twist to it and is going after people's retirement funds.
You're just full of good news this morning, aren't you?
Not really. I could get going on Prop 57 and what's going on, too. You know, these are the reasons that the number one export of California has become people. People are flooding out of the state of California. Business is flooding out of the state of California. Any sane person by now has left the state of California. We're still here because we're not sane enough to surrender it, because we understand once you lose California, once you give up the fight in California, what happens? California is just the crash test dummy from the nation, and then it spreads to Oregon, and then it hits to Washington, and then it pops up in Connecticut, and then it's over here in some random state like Ohio, and then, oh, what do you know, Missouri's got it. And before you know it, it's all gone. It's California has become a cancerous tumor that spreads its insanity to the rest of the body. And that's why we have to dig in and put a stop to it. That's why we have to to knock it off. It's why we need the state of Jefferson, because then we have the leverage of the resources to kind of leverage California a little bit and go, okay, yeah, knock it off. You need what we have, we need what you have, but we're going to come to an accommodation between each other, and you're going to keep your tyrannical insanity to yourself.
Thanks, Red.
Thank you, Jen. And we're looking at these things that are going on. We're going to be looking for methods to protect yourself, protect your 401k, protect your IRA, and we will be talking about those as we find them. We need to know some more specifics about the legislation and what's coming up. To protect yourself from CalPERS, that's easy. Run. Run like hell. Take every dime that you can, as fast as you can, whatever way you can, even if it includes quitting your job. If you have to quit your state or county job to collect your CalPERS and get even a little portion of your retirement, do it and run like hell. And at this point, put your money in gold or silver or bury it in a mason jar in the backyard or I don't know. But get it the hell away from Jerry Brown and the state legislature or any of his corrupt cronies that have anything to do with anything in the government, because they are sucking you dry and now they're coming for the rest of us. So with that happy note, we will be having another State of Jefferson Assembly meeting coming towards the end of October now. We weren't able to get in earlier mid-October as we hoped, but it will be towards the end of October. Our committees are going to be meeting. They're going to be bringing up some of the work that they've done. The Legislative Assembly is going to be coming together. There's going to be all of these fantastic things that are coming together and starting to go. So I don't want you to listen to today's program and get all depressed and all upset. Because, yeah, it is that bad in California, but ladies and gentlemen, we're getting out of here. And it's working. It's working a little bit more every day. It's getting a little bit more successful every day. Every day is a day closer to victory, so be positive about that. Be happy about that. And know that through your works, through the glory and the compassion of God, that we are winning. And we're going to continue to win. And we get to turn this around. We have to do the work. And that's what a lot of people need to understand and get through their heads. And a lot of people in the state of Jefferson do is it's there for the taking. It's there. It's fruit hanging on the tree. You just have to do the work to get it. You can't expect somebody to do it for you. That's what's broken California. That's what's breaking the United States, is it's always somebody else's problem. Nobody wants to take responsibility for it. Nobody ever wants to get up and do it themselves. You know what? Maybe you didn't break it. Maybe you didn't screw it up. Maybe you didn't vote for the guy that did screw it up. But that doesn't mean you get to lay back on your butt and go, oh, okay, well, don't blame me, and watch the house burn down. You still got to get up and do something. It's called civic duty. It's called civic responsibility. It's called being a moral person. It's time to put the nonsense and the crap away and take responsibility and evaluate ourselves, evaluate our government, evaluate our communities, and do what needs to be done to restore ourselves to being decent, prosperous people, because the government's not going to do it for us. Are you kidding? We have to do it. We're the only ones that can do it. And that's what I love about the state of Jefferson and the people that are in it, is because we are doing it. We're getting more successful at it. We're becoming more experienced. And it's fantastic to watch it happen. And anybody that is interested in liberty or freedom and the conceptualization of it and empowering people and teaching them the knowledge that they need to start to take this back, you need to start looking at the state of Jefferson, because they know the way to do it. They're getting it done, and it's fantastic. So with that, I'm going to go on and get out of here. Stay tuned for Sovereign Minds coming up next, and I hope you have a good rest of your weekend there, Jefferson.
K KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Surrogates for the presidential contenders punched and counterpunched on this morning's TV news shows. Campaign manager Kellyanne Conway told Fox News that Donald Trump will continue reaching out to black voters.
He's going to take this case right to people where they live. And that includes everyone. We're vying for every vote, every ethnicity, both genders, every age group.
While Democratic National Committee Chairwoman Donna Brazile defended Hillary Clinton's foundation.
They've shown over and over again that they're willing to be transparent and that they have gone beyond the letter of the law to show that they're trying to make sure there are bright red, green, purple lines that will separate them from any type of conflict.
She was a guest on ABC TV's This Week program. Two brothers have been charged with first-degree murder in the shooting death of the cousin of NBA star Dwayne Wade as she was walking to register her children for school over the weekend in Chicago.